Okay, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all. Thank you for coming. We're about to have a few hot days, so we've got the air conditioning on. Hopefully, it'll be comfortable for everybody. I'd like to thank our sponsors for the whole year. The Shirim for 2023 are sponsored by Ilu Nishmois Brandabas Brandit and Zelig Ben Kaman Aleim HaSholem. We're very grateful for the sponsorship. Now, today and next week, and phones, yes, please. Miriam reminds me to remind you, please could you turn off your phones, and we'll have a jingle-free share. This week and next week, we're finishing off our series on food issues and kashrus and halacha. This week we're talking about cheese. It's going to be a complicated and difficult share. I warn you in advance. A lot of hard work for me, reading. And next week we're getting into the more recent question of genetically modified beef. They say that within a very few years, a significant amount of the meat that we eat will actually be genetically modified, created from stem cells, etc. What are the implications to that? This is very much cutting edge. We'll see that next week. And then it'll be pre-Tisha B'Av. We'll have, please God, a Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av Shir. And then after that, a new series. And I'll let you know when I'm away at the end of August, please God. Okay, and then it'll be nearly Rosh Hashanah, but I don't want to rush the year away. Cheese. Let's get into an old question. Why does cheese need a hechsher? What is the problem? So last week we spoke about milk. And the Mishnah said very clearly that milk is kosher if a non-Jew produces it, as long as a Jew supervises it. Just has to check that there's no non-kosher ingredients going in. And Rav Moshe, we saw last week, extended that in the 20th century. And he said today, the government regulation is good enough because they're scared to do anything. There'll be fines. And we know with such certainty that there's no non-kosher milk in there, at least in America, at least in England. And we were just talking before, maybe there are other countries. Certainly there are other countries you have to check how good the supervision is. But we know that there's no trade milk in there. The only issue with milk halakhically was it has to be supervised. When it comes to cheese, we'll see it's quite different. We'll see it's quite different right now. So first of all, how do you make cheese? I've never made cheese, but I'm sure it's a good sadna to go and do a little bit of cheese making. They usually do all these things on Chol HaMoed, right? I always think it's ironic. You go on Chol HaMoed and you can do basket weaving and all the exact things which are the 39 melachot that you'd never ever do in your life. You dafka do on Chol HaMoed when there's a halachic problem with doing all of these things. Anyway, that's a separate issue. Making cheese on Chol HaMoed is also a question. But let's talk about making cheese generally. So cheese is made from milk, and milk comes from cows. And happy cows make happy milk. You can get goat's cheese as well. And what they need to do to make cheese is they need to separate the liquid from the solid part of the milk. The liquid part is called whey with an H, and the solid part is called curds. And we can get into Little Bo Peep another time. What you do is you add acid. The acid starts separating the curds from the whey, and that brings in bacteria as well, and it starts turning the bacteria. The milk sugars get turned into acid, and the acidic action on the milk separates these two things. However, you can get too acidic, and people don't want the cheese to get too acidic, and there's something else you can add in to the cheese to make it coagulate much, much faster, which is rennet. Rennet is an enzyme which is found, at least naturally, in the wall, in the lining of the wall of a calf's, or a kid if it's a goat, stomach. Cows, as you know, if you don't know, they do have four stomachs, different ways in which they ruminate, and their true stomach, right at the bottom, which is attached there to the intestines, Abu Masam, I think it's called, that has a lining in it where the baby calf or the young calf or the young kid can drink milk from its mother, and it has a special enzyme that allows it to extract, if you like, the solid from the milk. It needs to coagulate the milk so it can eat it properly. So if we can get that stomach of the baby calf, usually a calf, and isolate the rennet, what they do is basically they scrub it, they put salt in it. I watched a couple of YouTube videos, very interesting. They put some salt in it, sometimes a bit of paprika, apparently it helps as well. And then they dry it out and they cut it up, and they have this sort of cow's stomach, which apparently is edible. We'll see today, that's the issue. It's not like gelatin. The issue with gelatin, halakhically, is they turn gelatin, which is made from animal bones, into something which is entirely inedible. They make it into a powder which is completely inedible. and then reconstitute it into food, which is edible. And that's a separate shear, which is what happens if something was edible, became inedible, and then is now re-edible. Is that called food? Rennet in the cow's stomach was always edible. Apparently you can chew this stuff, it's meant to taste nice, I don't know, never tried it. And you put rennet, you isolate the rennet, you put it in the cheese, and it coagulates the cheese much more quickly. And then you process it, you heat it in some cases, aside from pasteurization they do with the milk at the beginning. But you can heat up the cheese, you'll see here in the middle, to temperatures of 95 degrees, 131 degrees, it forces more of the liquid out, they drain off all the liquid, and then they leave the cheese to ripen. Sometimes the cheese needs to grow some mold and ripen over months and even years. And that gets into the issue of hard cheese, which we're not getting into now. Basically, for our purposes, there are two kinds of cheese. There's soft cheese, cream cheese, cottage cheese, etc., which is usually made without rennet, just with the acid additions. And then there's hard cheese, cheddar, and etc., Parmesan, we'll get to it soon, which is made with rennet as well. Now, there always has been, since antiquity, a vegetarian alternative to rennet. Meaning they can also set cheese using fig juice, using thistle flowers. This is not new technology. So Chazal were dealing with the possibility that they did have vegetarian cheese even back in the day. Obviously, there's no such thing as vegan cheese. I'm sure Chazal would not have even heard of a vegan. Vegan cheese is impossible because it's made from milk. If you buy vegan cheese, it's made from soy or something else. And there's obviously completely separate kashrus issues. So let's have a look at some of the halachic questions as we set ourselves up. Number two, bottom of page one. So we'll open with the Mishnah in Chulin. Kevas ha-nochri. If you have a cow's stomach, which is where you're getting your rennet, which is from a cow shechted by a non-Jew, Ushel Nevela, or a cow shechted by a Jew, which was all killed inappropriately, a cow that's not kosher, basically. Hariz Asura, you can't eat that. It's treif. It's edible, and it's treif. It comes from a treif animal, it's part of its meat. Hamamid Ba'ira Shelakeva, but if you do mamid, mamid is you gel. It's a gelling process. You cause it to stand. You gel milk with the keva of a kashera, of a kosher animal, a kosher cow that was shechted properly. Im yeshba no sein tam, if there is the possibility that the meat taste will get into the milk, then Hariz Asura, then that's no good. We'll see, that means that there's less than 60 times the milk to the meat. That's a problem. But by implication, if there's no problem of noisein tam, then it's fine. By the way, all of the rennet and the milk here is cold. It's not heated, at least at this stage. And therefore, the issue that we're dealing with, even if there's meat and milk taste, is probably nissa derabbanan in this case. But why is it not a problem? If I coagulate, if I create milk, cheese, rather, with a kosher cow's stomach. Why is that not basa b'chalav? Even if it's not no sin tam. We have a principle called ma'amid. What does ma'amid mean? Ma'amid means when you put a substance in which causes it to coagulate. That's not called a ta'arovis, meaning how does no sin tam work? If you take two things, you mix them together, and it's less than a 60th, I can't detect anymore the presence of the treif item. Well, if it's a ma'amid, if you've made it set, if you've made it gel, then I can detect it. I can't taste it. But you can see, look, it's gelled, it's solid now. The thing that you put in there that was treif is still very much visible. It's caused it to turn solid. So that's not called a tyrovis. You can't say that's batel. It's not batel, I can see it there. So why is it not a problem if you use a kosher stomach from a cow to coagulate cheese? I'll say, look, there's meat in the cheese. The meat has made it coagulate. So look on the top of page two. Very important Rashba, which we'll see also in the round. Number three, page two. What are you telling me? That if there's a no sein tam, you can taste the meat, then it's a problem. Of course I know that. I don't need another Mishnah to tell me something I know. Pshita, obviously. The basa b'chala v'dzinas tam osa. Obviously, if you can taste meat in milk, then it's also. Why tell me this? Maybe it's teaching me the following amazing thing. This is the root of why cheese is at all kosher. The dafke im yesh ba no sein tam asur. Kosher meat and kosher cheese and kosher milk is only going to be a problem if you can taste the meat. Umishum basa b'chalav, because that's meat and milk. Ha'ein bo noisin tam, but if you can't taste it, mutter, it's permitted. Afal gav de mamidu, even though you can see it. I can see the presence of the meat in the milk because it turned it into cheese. Because basa b'chalav b'tam atale le'rachmana. Because with meat milk, it's not like treif. With treif, there's something prohibited that goes in. And if I can detect it there, it caused it to gel, that's a problem. But meat is kosher, and milk is kosher. So why are two kosher things, when added together, equals a treif thing? Only if they add taste. Meaning, who cares that I can see the meat in the cheese? Who cares? It's fine. Meat's kosher. Milk's kosher. A mamid with a kosher animal, says the Rashba, is absolutely fine. Ka'ama rabba la'el derech bishul asra tala. Don't forget, what did the posuk say? Lots of vashel gidi b'chalavimo. Don't cook it. Don't do something which spreads its taste. But the fact that I can detect its presence, irrelevant. Masha'en came b'mamid b'or nevela, but that's not true if I use a treif cow stomach. Da'azlin b'asa mamid. There, a mamid is treif. Because I put something treif in it. See something fascinating about meat and milk. Meat and milk is intrinsically, both of them are fine. And if they're mixed together, it's only a problem if they actually give each other taste, not if I can just detect the presence of each in the other. So that's why a kosher cow can be used to make kosher cow rennet, to use to make kosher cheese. Okay, fine. Interesting. Number four. Says the Mishnah. Shal Rabbi Yishmael is Rabbi Yoshua. And we'll see this is a fascinating mission which we'll get to in a minute in more depth. So Rabbi Yishmael asked Rabbi Yeshua. Yes, sir.
Detect,
you can see it. I can see. Yes, correct. We don't need a lab in order to make psak in halacha. If I drop a little bit of meat into milk, we don't say, take it to a lab, put it in a centrifuge, and let's see. It's irrelevant. You have to be able to keep halacha in 3rd century Yemen, in the same way as 24th century Los Angeles. I mean, I'm assuming that 24th century Los Angeles will be more advanced than 3rd century Yemen. I wouldn't bank on it. But the point is, you have to be able to do it just by sight. That's why we usually detect things by sight. That gets very interesting when it comes to classifying things as male by chromosomes or etc. You do it by chromosomes or genes, or you do it in terms of anatomy. Not for now. Number four. Shal Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, so why is non-Jewish cheese Amalai? So he says, very simple. Because they use rennet from a non-kosher cow. Simple enough, and you can see the rennet, it makes the cheese coagulate, and therefore it is prohibited. And the Ran, again, says the same kind of idea in number five. I'm not going to do it in detail. The two kosher ingredients, the meat and the milk together, are basically fine, and they're only prohibited if they give taste. The Shulchan Aruch codifies this in number six. So far, this has been a very straightforward shir. Says the Kosh Shulchan Aruch, Im hemid gvina ba'or keba, if you make cheese with a kosher cow stomach, kashera, then that's fine. Yesh batam basa, but if you can detect the meat taste in the cheese, says the Shach, kloima kashem gavinas shishim neged or, meaning we don't anymore taste things and say, does this taste a little bit of meat? And even to give it to a non-Jewish taster, which in the time of the Gemara was an option, taste this and tell me if it tastes of meat. We don't do that. We just go by shishim in terms of if there's more than 60 times the milk to the meat. But if there's less, asura. V'im lav, and if not, muter, then it's fine. Avar hamamid ba'or kevas nevela, but if you use a non-kosher cow stomach, or trefa, or an animal that was shechted and found to be not kosher because it's got a sickness, or behema tamea, or you use the stomach of a horse, camel, pig, something like that, asur b'choshu, then it's completely asur. Why is it completely asur if it's bottled b'shishim, says the Ramah? Mishum d'dava ha'asur ba'adzma umamid. Because you can see, it's there, it's coagulated the milk, va'filu be'elef, and even 1 in 1,000 loy batal. Very straightforward. Okay, fine. The Shach makes things a little bit more complicated. He quotes the halacha as we pass in it, but then he throws in a little wobbly at the end. Look at number 7, and then we'll get into the deeper analysis. Number 7. If you use a nevela, then it's awesome. What happens if that's bottle b'shishim? What happens if you can't taste anything in there? So you'll say, well, any meat. You say, well, it's prohibited because it's mamid. It makes it stand, it makes it coagulate. But not so straightforward. Number 7. The main difference between a kosher and a non-kosher rennet sauce is the orkeba kashera, a ma'achashehu mutter bifnei atzmoy, since, says the Shach, the kosher cow is permitted to eat. The leisbe isa elamishum chiburo imagvina. The only problem is the milk and the meat together. Then kol amos de lo yaiv time, as long as it's not giving taste. Lav basa v'chalavu. It's not a problem of basal achalav. Ela hay ba'apikayin, this one stands on its own. V'hay ba'apikayin, this one stands on its own. It's meat and it's milk and it's fine, even though they're together. Aval or nevelo kiyotzibo, but the skin of a non-kosher cow or similar, she'asama atzma, which is intrinsically prohibited, kevin shehu mamid, since it causes it to coagulate, and a roim, we can see with our eyes, ki'ilu ha'isaba'ein. He's saying the same thing we just said. But then he said, maharshal, Pasak, the Marshal, who was Rav Shlomo Luria, a very important Polish posek in the 16th century, he says that afilu b'mahamamid ba'or kebas nevela, even if you use a treif cow rennet, bottle b'shishin. Gosh. The ain dvar of mukhrachim, but I don't agree with this. We don't follow this psak. Now, if you followed this psak, then pretty much all the cheese is okay. I don't know whether it's actually bottle b'shishim. I imagine that the rennet is way less than a 60th of the amount of milk that they put together. But the Marshal would create havoc in the cheese industry, and we'll see that we don't paskin like the Marshal the question at all. The question that we'll raise, though, is, but what if it's really vegetarian cheese? Like, I know that the rennet is from a plant source. What could be the problem there? Why is it an issue? That's going to be the back and forth that we're going to have. But the Marshal's opinion, I just quoted, but it's basically rejected. So we'll see something now which I think is fascinating in terms of how this whole cheese issue got off the ground way back when. Number 8. Elu dvarim shel akum asurim v'isurim issa hanor. The following things made by non-Jews are prohibited and you're not even allowed to benefit from them. Hayayin, wine which could be offered for avodah zarah, chometz, vinegar from that wine, shel akum, etc. Fine, you can't drink them and you can't get benefit. Now, we said last week or 2 weeks ago that wine today, made by non-Jews, does not have this halacha. You can't drink it, but you can get benefit from it. Because we don't assume that wine made in a regular secular wine shop has got anything to do with Avodah Zarah. You still can't drink it, because the rabbis made a gezeirah, we said, on socializing, and you socialize with people, you drink with them, you go out with them, you marry them. That's how life works. And therefore, you can't drink wine. But you can get benefit. I think I mentioned I was given a crate of very treif, but very expensive champagne many, many years ago as a lawyer, when I found a loophole in a contract that got my client about $500,000 more than he thought. He bought me about $1,500 worth of champagne, something like that, which I sold and gave to other people, and switched for whiskey. But that's a different share's whiskey, and whether it's sherry cask whiskey, etc. But these things you can't get benefit from. Number 9. But these things, elu dvarim shel akum asurim, the ein isuran isohano. But the following things are prohibited to eat, but you can get benefit. Chalav shechel ba'akim. If milk was milked by a non-Jew, the ein isuran ola, but there's no one supervising it. Pat, bread made by a non-Jew, you can't eat. You can get benefit. You can sell it. You can't eat it. The hashemen shalahem, an oil made by a non-Jew, olive oil. But Rebbe ubeis dinah hitiru b'shemen. But Rebbe and his beis din allowed the oil. What's going on there? So we'll see soon in terms of the way that the original rabbinic gezeiras were made, that Chazal had to do a lot of research before they made any new rule. We'll see that coming up in about 5-10 minutes. And oil, they didn't do their research properly, in the sense that they said, we don't think that Jews should drink oil by non-Jews, because it's going to cause them to, you know, mix, etc. Olive oil, people use that a lot. And the people couldn't take it. And eventually, Rebbe, Yehuda Anasi, overruled the earlier Gezerah and said, okay, you know something? Forget about the oil, it's fine. What gave him the authority to do that? We'll see soon how he could have done that. But that's a whole sugya back in our history, as we could have ended up needing olive oil to have a heksher as well. Olive oil today doesn't need a heksher as long as it's got nothing else added into it. Okay, fine. So far, so good. Look in number 10. Here you have a puzzling Mishnah. Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said, let's get these names clear. Names are going to be very important here. Rabbi Yehuda was a Tana, a student of Rabbi Akiva. He tells the story. He says, Shal Rabbi Yishmael et Rabbi Yoshua. He's telling a story of something that happened in a past generation. Rabbi Yishmael was a generation over Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yeshua was a generation above him. Rabbi Yehoshua was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was around at the time of the Churban. So he's telling this story. Rabbi Yishmael asked Rabbi Yehoshua, When they were walking, a lot of Torah gets spoken when the rabbis are walking on the street. And there's studies, you can, you know, read academic studies on whether this was a methodology in the ancient world that people would exchange ideas walking on the street. Today they just have their earphones on and they're, you know, oblivious, or they're jogging or whatever, and you don't know whether people are talking to you, talking to someone else. It's a crazy world today. So Amalo, so he answers him as follows. Sorry, he said to him, rather, Mipnei ma asru gvinas akum? Why can't we eat cheese made by non-Jews, Rebbe? So Amalo, he says to him, Mipnei sha'amidim oseh b'kebush al-nevela, because they use rennet from a non-kosher cow. Simple enough. Amalo, but he responded and challenged it, v'halo kebush oila chamura mikebush nevela, and I left out this whole argument, it's quite long. He asks the question, he says, but surely the stomach of an ola, of an offering, is even more prohibited in many ways because it's hektish, it's been declared for the Beit HaMikdash, and yet there are certain leniencies that we see there. Why wouldn't we have leniencies also with something that is less prohibited, like the stomach of a non-kosher animal? So Rabbi Yishmael changed his tack. Chaza Amalai, he then says, okay, fine. You don't like that answer? B'pnei she'amidim oisa b'kevas egli avodah zara. I'll raise you one. Because the non-Jews make cheese with rennet, not just from a treif cow, but from an avodah zorah cow, a calf of avodah zorah. What are you going to say now? So he answered him. Rabbi Shmuel is very sharp, and he said to him, "Amaloi im kein lamaloi asad bahana." He says, "Well, if it's really avodah zorah, it should be prohibited to get benefit from it." And we just said it's not. So what? Come on, what's the real problem? So Rabbi Shmuel changed the subject. Amaloi, he said to him, Rabbi Yeshua, Yishmael Achi, my brother Yishmael, Heich ata kaira ki tovim dodecha miyayim. How do you read this pasuk in Shir HaShir? Do you read it dodecha, or ki tovim dodaych, or do you read it in the feminine? Let's talk about that instead. So Amarlo, he said to him, ki tovim dodaych. I read it in the feminine. Amarlo says, no, you're wrong. Ein hadavar kein. It's not true. Shehari chaveru malamid alav. Because the next pasuk will teach you, and it says l'reach shmanecha tovim. It doesn't say shmanaich. It says shmanecha. So this must be also dodecha, not dodaich. And now we're happily talking about Shir HaShir. What is going on? Why is he not giving him a straight answer? Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see why he's not giving the straight answer. So that's the Mishnah. Let's look at the Gemara on that issue. And we'll see maybe a little bit, you're right. We'll see the Gemara gives seven different reasons why cheese made by non-Jews is not kosher. And whenever you have seven different reasons why something is asur, you're always going to be on shaky ground. There's always going to be a problem coming up. So we'll see number 11. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Maishana Haikra Deshalia, why did he dafka ask him this posuk? You know, sort of pulled out a posuk in Shir HaShirim out of the air. Tamar Reb Shimon Bar Pazi, Bin Pazi, Reb Shimon Bar Pazi says no. V'itema Reb Shimon Bar Ami, later on, one of the Amoraim says, Mireshita Kraka Amale, he's really hinting at the beginning of that posuk. What's that posuk in Shir HaShirim? It says there, Hitovim Dodecha Miyayim, your love is greater than wine, is better than wine. What does the beginning of the posuk say? Yishakeni minashikot pihu. He kisses me with the kisses of his mouth. That's what he's really telling him. Amalei, he's saying to him, Yishmael achi, my brother Yishmael, hashok svatecha zo bazo. Push your lips together, please, as if you were giving me a kiss. Va'al tevahel lashiv, and don't be too quick to answer me. Keep your mouth closed, please. That's what he's telling him. That's this posuk in Shir HaShir. My timer, why would he say that? That's not what rabbis say. Rabbis love being asked questions. They can give a whole shir. So Ulla says, Ama Ulla v'itema Rav Shmuel bar Abba, gezeira chadashahi. It was a recent decree of the rabbis that ein mefak bekimba, and they don't want it questioned. They don't want people chepping at this because it needs to kind of settle in before people start pulling it apart. You know what Jewish people are like. You say anything to them, they ask like five things why it can't be. It has to be something different. They never give you a, that's very nice. So we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about it. Okay, so fine. So my gezerah, so what was this new gezerah that he didn't want to discuss? Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, I'm a Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, and we'll see, his view is very authoritative. We'll see soon Tosfos say, we paskan like Yeshua ben Levi. I'm a Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Nikur. What's Nikur? We're not talking about porging here. We're talking about when a snake might drink and bite into something, it might leave some of its venom behind. And there was a gezer which was very important back in the day, which was you don't leave liquids open. Certain liquids, water, wine, milk, you don't leave them open, unsupervised during the day. Not for Kabbalistic reasons, there's an issue at night, api Kabbalah, but because we're worried a snake might come in, take a drink, leave some venom, and it's dangerous. Okay? So cheese also, we're worried that a non-Jew left the cheese, a snake went and had a nibble of the cheese. I don't know if snakes eat cheese, I didn't research it. And we're worried they might put some venom in. Ah, v'leimalei mishum nikur. So then let him answer that. Let him say, like, if the reason we don't eat it is because of the snakes. No, k'du'ula da'ama ula, ki gazrei gezeret b'ma'arava. Because, again, same idea. When they make a gezera in Eretz Yisrael, in Ma'arava, which is where these people were living in Eretz Yisrael, loy magalatama, they never tell you the reason, ad treisa yarchishasa, until 12 months have gone by. Interesting chinuch approach here. Dilma ikke inish, there might be people, the lois firulei va'asil azilzalevei, who don't hold by it, and then they'll ridicule the rabbis. Who'd ever heard of Jews making fun of the rabbis? Yeah. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. You know, I remember many years ago in London, my rabbonim went up to a couple of guys who were always talking during the Haftorah. They never stopped talking to each other. As soon as he starts reading the Haftorah, talking to him, he says, why are you always talking? You don't listen to the Haftorah. So he looked up at the rabbi and said, listen, Rabbi, minhag avoseinu biyadeinu. We never listened to the prophets the first time round, and we still don't today. Okay? Jews have a Masorah. So they're going to ridicule the rabbis. So Megadabi Rabbi Yirmiyah. So that can't be true. Elema'ata yavsha tishtrei. Surely if it can't be true that it's because of the venom. Snakes don't eat cheese. They drink. They don't eat. Well, it's solid. How can it be? And Rashi says, Kol gilush shabiyavish mutter. We never saw there was a gezerah about solid things and snakes. Because the snake venom would have actually stopped it from solidifying. So he says, no, it's nothing to do with snakes. It's nothing to do with snakes. Okay, we'll have another try. Amar Rav Chanina, we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down. Okay, lefi she'iyev shala, b'loy tziksuchei chalav. Because you're going to end up with little bits of milk residue left on the cheese. What's the problem here? Rashi explains. Bein gumash agvina nish'ar min ha'chalav. There'll be milk left in on the cheese. V'chalav she'chal bo'ev g'chalim ve'ein yisro areihu. And this is non-supervised milk. Asa dilma erid be'chalav tameh. And they might have put some camel's milk in it. Ah, v'chalav tameh eima oimed. And didn't we tell you last week that camel's milk doesn't make cheese? Correct. That's why the bits of the residue of the camel's milk will still be sitting on the cheese because it won't have mixed in and made the cheese. And therefore, we're worried if you buy regular non-Jewish made cheese, there'll be bits of milk that's not kosher just coating the cheese. Okay? That's another reason. Next line. Ushmul amar mitnei shema'amidin oise ba'or keba nevela. That's our answer from before. They use rennet from a non-kosher cow. Rav Malchia Mishmeida Rav Ada Bar Ava, so there's a new answer, Amar, Bipneshe Machli Kimpane B'shumen Chazir. They glaze it with pig fat. Interesting. Now they do glaze cheese sometimes. They put wax over cheese and all sorts. It says they glaze it with pig fat. Okay. Rav Chista Amar Bipneshe Ma'amidim Oise B'choymetz, because they use non-kosher wine vinegar to help with the process of coagulation. And finally, Rav Nachman Reitzrak Amar Mipnei Shema'amidim Oisa Besaraf Ha'orla. They use vegetarian ingredients which are orla, which are fruits from the first 3 years. Now you would have thought this is probably unlikely, but you've got all of these different reasons which are given. The question is, which one do we choose? Which one do we choose? And that's going to make a massive difference as we're coming up. By the way, I brought you the Yerushalmi in number 12. Why didn't Rabbi Yeshua trust Rabbi Ishmael? Meaning, yes, for the first 12 months, we don't give reasons because the people will pull everything apart. But Rabbi Ishmael, he's a rabbi. Look at the Yerushalmi. Mipnei ma loy gila loy. Why didn't he tell him, says the Yerushalmi? Amar Rabbi Yochanan mipnei shekarav isuram, because it had only recently been prohibited. The Rabbi Yishmael haya katan, and Rabbi Yishmael was a junior rabbi. Another interesting point. You can't trust the people with everything, and you can't always trust the assistant rabbi either. He doesn't get it yet. He's learning the job. We can't start. I'm not getting into this with Rabbi Yishmael. He doesn't yet understand what's going on. The Rambam basically says, in number 13, he explains what's going on. Why the rabbi is being secretive. So he says, the Rambam, the Perish of Mishnah, Mashechayv shelo yodiyu sibas isura. Why do the rabbis not give their reasoning for the first year? Hakrevas oisagzer, when it's still close to the making. Dilma asul zilzuleva, in case the people come to ridicule it. Ulezer haya min hagam. This actually was the custom with the Sanhedrin. We're talking about when there was a Sanhedrin. When they made something with the gezerah, ein moedin sibas oisa gezerah, they never told you the specific reason, but meshech shana, for a whole year, actually parasim is until the practice became, the prohibition became popularized, oisa hadava, v'yit pashit etzel anashim v'hahamoyim, and it had even got to the women and the uneducated. The Rambam, not trying to be offensive here, but he always uses the word nashim for people who have not been properly educated, which was the truth. When Rambam describes in Hilchas Talmud Torah why it's a bad idea to teach women Gemara, he says because they are ani in their da'at. They're poor in their understanding. Why are poor people poor? It's not their fault. There's no one has given them any money. So women have not been given knowledge. Ah, you're going to say, so why didn't they just teach them? Okay, so we're talking about the Middle Ages. Women didn't get education until, 70, 100 years ago. So Nashim and the Hamayin need to have taken this on. And then they can start talking about the reason. And this gets into the kind of PR role of the Sanhedrin. Go over to page 4. I brought you a fascinating source. The Rambam quotes, what is the market research and the PR that the public relations job that the rabbis have to do with new decrees? Because again, rabbis today should take heed. If you say something and nobody listens, it would have been better never to have said it at all. Because then you just become the rabbi that nobody listens to. And then you can't say anything. Okay? So everyone was always very conscious of this. Look at number 14. Says the Rambam, Beddin shenira lahem ligzor gezerah. If a Beit Din feels they need to make a new decree, or latakin takana, or nitakana, they're not always telling you not to do something. They might say, we've made a new bracha. This is the bracha you say on seeing extremely beautiful trees. Okay? We made a new gezerah. Or a takana. Or a hanhig minag, or they want to create a new minag. Srichi lehit yashay badava. They need to consult. They probably had, based in consultancy practices. Like today, consultants who provide solutions for people that don't have problems. Okay? Srichi lehit yashay. They have to consult. The leida tchila, they have to know in advance, imroiv had sibo yecholim la'amod bahem. Can people cope with this? Will they agree to it? Will they do it? Or im ein yecholim la'amod, or they won't be able to do it. Allah olam ein gozrin gezera ala tzibor, and the Sanhedrin must never make a new decree. Ela im ken roiv had sibo yecholim la'amod bahem. Unless they establish through research that this is going to be doable by most of the people. It's not good enough that tzaddikim can deal with it. We have to have most people able to deal with this. Vav. Harishigazru based it. So they did their research. And they made their gezerah. They say, yes, it'll work. Okay? V'dimu shirova kal yecholel amabo. They thought that people could cope with it. V'achashigazrua, but after they made the gezerah, pik paku ha'am. The people said, no, we can't do this. V'loi pashta barova kal, and it didn't spread into the majority. Harizet betela. Then the Gezerah has no power at all. The Einan Rishayin L'Chofes Ha'am L'Lechet Bo'on, the Sanhedrin have no right to force the people to do it. So interesting. The interplay. It's not an autocracy. You don't have a group of rabbis forcing people what to do. If the rabbis make a Gezerah and the people just say, I'm sorry, maybe we thought we could do this. When you did your market research, we said it would be okay, but we really can't do it. No power. It doesn't even need to be overruled. It has no authority at all, because the people have a very important part to play. Zayin, Gazru, let's say they made the Gezerah, V'dimu shepashtav, and it did spread, or they thought it had spread, V'chol Yisrael, V'amad hadava came shanim rabbis, and it lasted years. Ula'achas man maruba, and after significant time, Amma based in Achara, later based in Kamalong, Ubadak b'chol Yisrael, and they do more research. V'rasha eino segzera poshetet b'chol Yisrael, and they see that actually the earlier based in were incorrect. It didn't catch on. It didn't spread. What then? Yesh lo rishus levatel. Then the later based in can override it. Afilu haya pachot mi beddin rishon b'chachma minin. Even if it's a lesser beddin, and this is what happened with the olive oil. They made a gezerah on olive oil. They thought, oh, that's great. People are doing this. Later, they realized people were not holding. They didn't say, oh, sinners, you're going against the rabbis. They said, okay, maybe it turns out it was too much. We're getting rid of it. But, says the Rambam, v'chol beit din shehite shnei dvarim, once that if the beit din has already rolled back two legislative platforms, al yimaher lahatir davar shlishi. Don't be so quick to draw back on a third. Because then you'll just be the beit din, the soft beit din. And the people will say, oh, well, you just have to put enough pressure, you know, to use the infamous line from many years ago, Blue Greenberg, where there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way, which is not true, okay? And therefore, the beit din would get a name as being a pushover. What I find fascinating here, it's nothing to do with cheese, but it kind of comes into this discussion as what were the parameters between the rabbis and the people, and we give a lot of respect to the people. Remember the whole line when Hillel in the Gemara in Pesachim, and they asked him a question, Hillel comes along from Bavel, and he criticizes the Sanhedrin for not knowing the halacha, and he criticizes them too much, and then they ask him a halacha, and he says, oi, I forgot. Well, that's what happens if you criticize too much. But then he says, let's see what the people do. Im lav neviim heim, b'nei neviim heim. Because even if they're not prophets, they're kind of trainee prophets. There's a kind of mass nevuah to the Jewish people, which is interesting. Now, which Jewish people that don't keep halacha, that only yes keep halacha, how knowledgeable do they have to be? Good question, not for now. But bottom line, it's an interplay between those two groups. Okay, fine. Let's get back to cheese. Number 15. So what's the bottom line? The Rambam says it's dead simple. Let me make it really simple for you. It's all about the cow's stomach. Forget about the snakes. Forget about the pig's glaze. Forget about all of that. It's about cow stomachs. Number 15. Mipnei ma yitin hadin shekol chalav shanimsa b'yada okum osor. Why is milk by a non-Jew prohibited? Shemari bo chalav behema tamei. In case he mixed in non-kosher milk. Good, we did that last week. Ugvina sa'akum. What about cheese? Muteret. That, in theory, in terms of the milk, shouldn't be a problem. Why? She'ein chalav behema tamei mitgaben. Because milk from a pig, a camel, a horse won't make cheese. So you know if it's cheese, it must be from kosher milk. Aval, b'yemei chachmei Mishnah, he's reflecting what we were just talking about, in the times of the Mishnah, gazru al gvinat akum, they made a gvina, a gzeira on the cheese of a non-Jew, the asrum, and they said it's asa. Why? Mipnei shema amidim asa ba'or keva shel shechitasam shechim nevela. Because they use rennet from a non-kosher source. Ve'im taima, and if you want to say, v'haloi or hakeva dava katan, isn't it a small amount of rennet? Who add ma'oid, very, very small, b'chalav she'am debo, and there's much more milk. V'lama lo'i batal b'miyuta, why isn't it bottled b'shishim? Mipnei shehu ma'amid gvina, because it coagulates the cheese, you can see its presence. V'hoil v'davah ha'osahu, she'hemi davah ha'kol asu. Fine. What about vegetarian cheese? If that's the whole problem, what about vegetarian cheese? Number 16. The Rambam immediately then comes on to vegetarian cheese, because it was there. Gvina she'ma'amidim oisa ha'okum ba'asavim. What if they don't use rennet, but they use vegetarian substitutes? Or b'mei peiros, or fruit juices? Could go in sraf hateinim, fig juice, the harizeh nikarim b'gvina, and you can taste it. You can see it. People eat this cheese and say, oh, fig juice cheese. I can see little bits of the flowers or the herbs that were there. It's clear that it's vegetarian cheese. So what's to do? On the one hand, why should it be asa? Horumitzas ga'onim, he gives a very strange psak. There are a number of ga'onim from the previous generation, they have said shehi asura, that this is also prohibited. Shikfar gazru are called gvinas akam, because they made a blanket prohibition. All cheese owned by non-Jews. Bein sheim du'a b'davah ha'asa, whether they made it with real rennet, bein sheim du'a b'davah ha'mota, or they made it with vegetarian rennet, gezeira mishum shema'amidim osa b'davah ha'asa. It's always prohibited. Because if people start to think, oh, well, you can eat this kind of cheese, oh, cheese is fine, so I'll eat this kind of cheese. Oy vey, you just ate real non-kosher cheese. So they made a gezeira on everything, even vegetarian cheese. But he doesn't just say it. He says, Haru mixas ha-ga'inim. There are some people who say, well, what about the other people? There must be other people who don't say. He doesn't quote them. Which is funny because he's not scared. The Rambam is never scared to go against the Gaonim. He holds as a principle that his generation were not bound by the Gaonim. The Gaonim are a group of rabbis that lived between, let's say, the 7th and the 10th century, just after the time of the Gemara. And there are people who take the view, well, just like later people, authorities are bound by earlier, so too the Rishonim are bound by the Gaonim. The Rambam says, no, no, no. I'm only bound by the Gemara. I'm not bound by anybody else. So here, he quotes them, and he agrees with them, but he doesn't tell us about anybody else. The Rashba, I brought you in 17, I'm not going to read it inside, he said it's dead simple. How can people eat vegetarian cheese? And people do, apparently, and he's very upset with it. Number 17. I'll read a little bit of it. Ugvina shel kutim, cheese from the non-Jews. He doesn't mean real kutim. Kutim are Samaritans. I don't suspect the Rashba ever met a Samaritan in his life. Kutim is just a word for non-Jews. Lo yadati tam hamatirim lachem. I don't know why some people say it's mutter. Now again, he doesn't say I don't know why people eat it. He says I don't know why there are rabbis that allow it. And there clearly were rabbis that allow it. And he goes on to say because it's a davar shebeminyan. It was assed by the Bet Din as a minyan in a quorum. You need a Sanhedrin that's even bigger to overrule it. And maybe you can't even do that. We saw last week the Rambam holds that even if a later Beis Din is even bigger, they still can't overrule it if it was a Gezerah. So he says, I don't understand. You cannot eat vegetarian cheese. It was all prohibited as part of the original decree, and you need to be a bigger Sanhedrin to overrule it. So go away with your vegetarian cheese. It's all awesome. Okay, fine. Over the page. Tosfos is going to make our lives complicated because the Ashkenazim did not agree. We're going to first of all look at the Ashkenazim and then we're going to look at the Italians. Now, I used to know much about Italians until my son married an Italian. And now I know all about Italians and we've been introduced to the complexities of the Italian Jewish community, which, by the way, is not one community at all. Italy only became one nation very recently. And therefore, the Italian Jewish community reflects that. The Romans are the Romans. Milan is a total different story. Livorno, which is where my daughter-in-law's family is from, is a completely different story again. They're all different Maseros. Some of them are Spanish-Portuguese. Some of them are Tunisians, Libyans, actually more than Tunisians. But let's have a look, first of all, at Tosfos. Tosfos was, of course, Ashkenazi. They were Ashkenazi. So Rabbeinu Tam living in the 12th century, mid-1100s, in Europe. So the Rambam has said, all cheese is osa, and there are people who don't agree, but we don't pass him like that. Number 19. Ki achshav loy matzinu tam pashut. We can't find an absolutely clear reason le'isa begvinas ha'ovid kachavim. Why non-Jewish cheese is definitely treif. We can't pinpoint the exact reason, he says, which is not a good way to start, if you like. We'll see what they make of that later. The hatama isahu mishum nikur, because we surely have to paskin that the whole reason is the snakes. It's the snakes. Why the snakes? Kishu Rabbi Shua ben Levi, because that was the opinion of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. The kaimalan halachik Rabbi Shua ben Levi, afligabi Rabbi Yochanan, v'kashayenagabi Shmuel. He says, just look at the Gemara again. You had a list of reasons, seven reasons, each with a different rabbi. He said, we have rules how we paskin. If Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says the reason, we go like him. Over Shmuel. Even over Rabbi Yochanan, who wasn't in that list, certainly over Shmuel. So that must be the reason. The reason is the snakes. And therefore, the leikel emecha shnami mishum erev chalav tame. And then we're not worried about non-kosher milk. Shari eino oved kachavim shoitim. Really, you think the non-Jews are silly? They don't put treif milk in the cheese. It doesn't coagulate. It floats on the top. It makes the cheese yucky. They're not going to do that. La'ariv bo chalav tamei ma'acha she'eno oimed. Non-Jews are not going to put treif milk in. It doesn't work. Ela vadai ein hatam ela mishum nikur. He says it again. The only reason why vegetarian cheese is prohibited is because of the snakes. Or any cheese is prohibited because of the snakes. Va'anu she'ein nechashim mitzuim. You can see what's coming next. And we, who don't have any snakes, mitzuim beinenu, ein lechosh mishum gilu. And therefore, we're not worried. The problem is the snakes. There ain't no snakes. There ain't no problem. The Ein Loima, don't come and tell me, Rashba. Of course, he lived before the Rashba, but he's anticipating. Don't come and tell me, Davashib and Minyan who. oh, well, it was made by the Sanhedrin, you can't overrule it. V'tzarech minyan acher la'atiroi, and you need another bigger beis din. Ki vaday hu k'she'astru tchila, because in this particular case, it's absolutely clear, when they originally made the Issa, lo astru ele b'makim she'anachashim mitzuyim. They're worried about snakes. It's very straightforward. If there are no snakes, there's no problem. V'gam b'har b'makimus, and we know lots of places, says Tosfos, yesh oklo oisim ipnei she'ma'amidim osa b'prachim. Because loads of people eat vegetarian cheese, says in Europe, in Ashkenaz. Loads of Jews do that. V'gam ga'on in Narbon. And what about the rabbis of Narbon? Very frum in Provence. Very serious people. He lived in northern France. Narbon is in southern France. Hetiru, they explicitly permit vegetarian cheese. Hetiru oisim b'makom ha'atam she'ma'amidim osa b'prachim. Prachim, and the reason is because it's vegetarian. Ah, they made a gezera originally. The gezera was about the snakes. Tosfos take as a shita that where Chazal made a gezera, and it's obvious what the reason was, then if the reason no longer applies, the gezera doesn't apply. The Rambam doesn't go that way. The Rambam says, I don't care what the reason was. You need a bigger Sanhedrin to overrule it. But Tosfos does this in a few cases. Let me give you a few examples. I come to your question. Dancing and clapping on Shabbos. Rambam says, Osa, it's Osa. Chazal said that you might come and make a musical instrument. My people are dancing, going to grab a musical instrument, tune it up. Tuning a musical instrument is a Torah prohibition on Shabbos. You can't dance. Tosfos says, we don't do that today. No one's going to grab an instrument. No one's going to make an instrument, form an instrument, maybe even tune an instrument. You can dance, it's okay. And by the way, I remember as a kid, people used to say, you can't dance on Shabbos. Go to the Kotel now on Friday night and scream, you can't, it's Osa, Shulcha Aruch, it's Osa to dance on Shabbos. See who's listening. Another situation, Tosfos, Mai Machronim, very famous. Chazal say that you have to wash your hands after you eat bread because people dip the bread in special salt, which is very pungent. And after the meal, when they're not focusing anymore on eating, they put their hands in their eyes. Tosfos says, we don't have that salt. You don't have to do Mai Machronim anymore. Tosfos, not in every case, but in many cases, say, if the reason was obvious and it goes away, then the gezerah goes away. Yes, sir?
What about the
problem with
Bela
and Shreifa? Oh, so... What about the cheese which is made with actual rennet? So, it's interesting. He doesn't seem to feel, at least at the beginning, it sounds to me, that that is the problem, because he says that the reason was the snakes, the reason was not the rennet. Maybe that's where the Maharshal, I didn't get into the whole thing, is getting his idea later, which we don't pass him like, that even a regular rennet cheese is not a problem. But he, at the end of this, Tosfos is only prepared to open up the ground to the vegetarian cheese. Yes, it sounds like he considers it, because he says the problem is the snakes. The problem is not the rennet. Why is the problem not the rennet? Because it must be bottled b'shishim, even if it's from a treif sauce, and even though it's a marmit. Okay? So we'll see how we pass soon. The Me'iri. The Me'iri also, I'm not going to read the entirety of number 20. The Me'iri also refers, and he's one of them, because he's in Provence. The Me'iri refers to the practice of the Jews of Narbonne. And he says, it's clear that around here, look by maybe... look, four lines up from the bottom. Badrash is Beziel. I've seen the writings of these rabbis down here. Matsasi Shagoin in Arbona, Samchu b'malchutam, Lechol Gvinas Hagoyim. They eat the cheese down in France. Mipneshe Rubam Amidim Beprochim. Because most of it is vegetarian. Interesting. They even prepared there to rely on the rove. That since most of the cheese down there back in those days was vegetarian, they ate all of the cheese based on the fact that most of it was vegetarian. The suffix so from Lahakel, and it's therefore it's an Issa de Rabbonon at most, and therefore there's a suffix we can rely on it. And then he says, but I don't like it. Because he also goes with the Rambam on Davashe B'Minyan. You've got all sorts of things going on here. You've got the Rambam coming in saying, the reason is the cow stomachs, that's a problem. And even the vegetarian stuff is a problem because it was made as one big gezeira. You've got Tosfos in the north of France saying, it was nothing to do with the cow stomachs, the reason's really the snakes, and in principle it doesn't apply anymore, but, you know, we can allow the vegetarian stuff. And then you've got the Jews of Provence, somewhere in between, some of whom, geographically as well, some of whom are saying, like the Rambam, Davashe B'Minyan, sorry, don't mess around with vegetarian cheese, the Me'iri. And some of whom, in Narbonne, are saying, not only can you eat the vegetarian cheese, but you can eat all the cheese because most of it is vegetarian cheese. So you can see that this is already a very big debate back in the day. Fine. Yeah, let's go on to the Shulchan Aruch. So the Beit Yosef. Look at the Beit Yosef in number 22, and we'll see what the bottom line is. We'll do this quite quickly. We've got 10 minutes to go. So the Beit Yosef basically says the following. He rejects the other opinions about vegetarian cheese. Well, actually, let's read him inside. V'chein. He quotes the Rambam. It'll be no surprise as he follows the Rambam. Va'af alpi shelakasav Rambam hayraza ela m'shem miksas ga'inim. Even though the Rambam only quoted some ga'inim that say vegetarian cheese is a problem, mashma k'shedivrei m'husav. It sounds like he follows them. Yeah, he does because he doesn't quote the others. She'im loykein havalei lahavi divrei amcholkim aleim. Because he should have brought the other opinion if he fell followed that one. U'mikan shuva lebnei Italia. And I want to give an answer to the people of Italy. Shenohagim heta begvinas hagoyim. They eat cheese in Italy made by non-Jews. Mipnei shema'amidim osam beprachim. Because it's vegetarian. Now, this is interesting. A lot of Italian cheese is actually dafka, not vegetarian. Parmesan cheese, by law, is not allowed to be made with vegetarian rennet in Italy. The Italians are very, you know, they regulate. Like if you want Chianti wine, it has to be made from this kind of grape in this kind of region. You can't just call something Chianti. We did a lot of wine, you know, research when we were in Italy last year. Cheese also, Parmesan cheese. I brought your whole thing there here. It might not exactly have to come from Parma anymore, but it does have to have animal rennet in it. But apparently, back in the day, the Italians used to say it was vegetarian. Maybe they didn't have the regulation. Third line, middle of the line. The line, matzah yidei v'raglein, but I don't think they have any basis. She'afilu nedivra Rabbeinu Tam. Even Rabbeinu Tam. Oh, he's Rabbeinu Tam, remember we just had that said, like, it's all about the snakes. She'pasak halachak Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He says it's all about the snakes. Da'ama ha'tamid isik v'inas ha'goyim hu mishum gil. And the problem is a snake might have gone in the liquid. I'm gonna up you one with other Ashkenazim. The smag and the smack were also Balei HaTosfos, and they say the afagav the ein noig beinenu isagilu b'mashkim. Yes, we're not concerned about drinks and snakes. If I leave my water here, go and have a meeting upstairs for 20 minutes and come down, we're not worried about snakes. But that doesn't affect the cheese. The cheese is still a problem. And the smack says that was even Rabbeinu Tam's view. Even though it sounds more permissive in the Tosfos, it sounds like if the liquids are okay, the cheese is okay. Maybe they didn't practically pass them that way. Okay. And then he answers, we'll go to the last line, and therefore it's quite clear, she'osa lifrosh michlal Yisrael, you may not depart from the Jewish people, lifroitz gedram, this is like strong language now, you're breaking through the geder, poiretz geder, shal Yisrael, kedoshim, the holy Jewish people, hasheh gadru abas ha'olam chachmeh mishnah, cheese is treif. Non-Jewish made cheese is treif. Don't start with your vegetarian cheese. And in the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins number 23, Gvinas ha'ovdei kochavim asrum, the cheese of non-Jews, they prohibited. Mipnei she'ma'amidim oisam ba'or keba. It goes like the Rambam, because they use animal rennet. Keba shechitat ha'shehi nevela, and it's treif. Va'afilu imdu ba'asavim, and even if they make it with vegetarian rennet, asura. Bottom line. Comes in the Ramah. Do we, the Ashkenazim, agree? Yes, we do. We're going with the Sfaradim on this. And don't break it, even if you're Ashkenazi. Unless you have a Mesorah that you do break it. He couldn't throw the Italians under the bus. He says, yeah, we do agree, but if you've got a Mesorah, you don't have to be upset about your Mesorah. And therefore, where does that leave the Italians? So I spoke to my daughter-in-law, and she said that there's an interesting... the Italians aren't Sephardi, and they are not Ashkenazi. They have their own minhag. Some of them are from Sephardi lands. Some of them are, you know, from Italian originally. Interesting, in Rome, in the Kaddish, they say Le'ela, Le'ela, all year long. They've just done Yamim Nerayim, they have their own Nusach. So the Italians are very proud of their traditions, but slowly but surely, the Rabbonim in Italy have become very much uniform with the Rabbonim all around the world. The Sephardim are Sephardi, and the Ashkenazim, if there are any, are Ashkenazi. And therefore, the Italians basically have been pulled somewhat unwillingly in line with the Kashrus practices of the rest of the Jewish world. And there are certain things on which they kick. For example, artichokes. The Italians have a tradition. They say, we know how to check artichokes for insects. Come along, everybody else says, nobody knows how to check artichokes. No, we do. Okay? No, they're not kosher. Flour on Pesach. The Italians have minhagim that they use real flour on Pesach. Not flour, which is commercial flour, because that's already been washed, that's for sure chametz, but flour. They use flour to make certain things as we know how to stop it becoming chametz. Don't worry. No, nobody does that. Nobody does that anymore. We do. Don't stop us. And here too with the cheese as well, the Italians had certain minhagim. It's difficult to know when the people, you know, flying the flag of the Italian minhagim are from Yorei Shamayim who believe in minhag, or are people who are like, leave us alone, we do this, like, we don't want any more rabbis telling us what to do. How do you tell? Difficult to tell. Okay? Anyway, so that's where it's left. Basically, cheese has to be made by Jews. Now, let's talk a little bit, just lemaisa. Let's talk a little bit lemaisa in the last 5 minutes as to what that means for us in practice. Okay, first of all, it means there can't be any animal rennet in the cheese, obviously, unless it's from a kosher cow. Kosher animal rennet is fine. Okay? When they go into produce a cheese run, which is kosher, they have to kasher all the equipment. That means they have to clean it. They have to abrasively clean all the cutters. They have to kasher with hot liquid, with hot water, all the stuff that was used for heating the cheese. Let's say they do all that. Is it good enough now that we have a Jew supervisor? It's all kosher now. And there's a Jew standing there as a mashgiach. So the remark comes along, top of page 7, and says, yeah, it's fine. Now as long, yes.
You have to kasher after vegetarian.
Do you have to kasher even the if they've never? I don't know the answer to that question. I would have thought that if they know for sure that no animal rennet, no non-kosher product went in, the kashering would be different. They wouldn't. But I don't know if they trust if the non-Jewish company has in their manas and halacha to rely on it, because it's not as if they're going to get fined. It's not like the milk. If they just lied, then who's going to know? So is it good enough to have supervision? With milk, yes. But with cheese, question mark. Says the Ramah, it's fine. Cheese and milk are the same. As long as you have a kosher factory and the Jew sitting outside just checking what's going on, it's fine. Says the Shach, no, it's not. With milk, Chazal said, it's okay if it's supervised. With cheese, they said, it's okay if it's Jewish. It has to be Jewish owned. It's not good enough to supervise it. The Jew has to own the cheese. And therefore you have different kashrus authorities taking different positions. Some of them are more lenient, like the Ramah, that says it needs a mashgiach, and that's good enough. Some of them most of them with the Shach's position, and says that the Jew has to kind of pre-order the cheese. The Jew has to have ownership of something, meaning owning the rennet, owning the factory equipment. The Jew has to own something, the Rav, the mashgiach. Whereas with milk, the Jew doesn't have to own anything. Just has to be there. With the cheese, the Jew has to, at least according to many opinions, has to actually make a kinyan and own things in the factory. And that is what normally happens. Usually they do both. They have a Rav who actually owns the consignment of cheese. The non-Jews can always buy it back. They don't care. The Rav will say, I need to make a kinyan and I need to buy it. And the non-Jews say, fine, whatever, Rabbi. As long as it's got a hechsher on the end and they'll sell it back or buy it back, that's fine. And they have hashgacha as well. Where does this leave us with yogurts and cream cheeses? Because this whole discussion has been about rennet, hard cheese. Vegetarian rennet was also because of the bigger degree. But yogurt, cream cheese, cottage cheese, never has any rennet in any way. So why would it be a problem? So I brought you on the last page, on page 8. 27 and 28 are the Chochmas Adam and the Oruch HaShulchan, where he basically says that even if cheese just becomes coagulated by itself without any rennet in it, then it is still prohibited under the Gezerah of non-Jewish owned cheese. Chochmas Adam says this explicitly. The Oruch HaShulchan, who sets standards often for the Lithuanian community and is not a machmir, he's not someone who goes overboard for stringency. He says even if you look at 28, that underlined, or gvina pshuta, straightforward cheese shalanu, she'ein b'ha'amad haklal, which has no setting process at all. It's all awesome. Mikol makom ha'isa b'makom ha'omed, the prohibition remains mitam shenizma, because it's all part of the gezerah. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, I'm not sure. Look what he said, number 29. But dava cream cheese, when it comes to cream cheese, Does it have to be, is it in the same gezeira? Does it have to be owned by a Jew, produced in a factory, etc., with Jewish ownership, supervision, There are reasons why you could be lenient. This is not normal cheese. Because it's that's only if it gels. It's the same as butter. Why would it be a problem? But in practice, look what he says. I'm not going to tell you it's mutter. I'm not going to tell you it's osa. Taiv lahachmir. It's good to be machmir. Let's face it. The psak of the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chochmas Adam, lots of the Lithuanian poskim says you have to be machmir. It's not a bad, it's a good thing. But you don't have to tell anybody off. People are buying regular cottage cheese made by non-Jewish factories. As long as obviously it's not got any treif ingredients, it might need to have some minimal level of hashkocha to check that there's nothing treif in London. You might be on a list, the based-in list. You can't have cheese on the London based-in list. It doesn't exist. Like hard cheese, it would have to be Jewish-owned. But cream cheese, and indeed that is the practice as far as I'm aware, the London based-in lists cottage cheese and things which are not made by Jews as kosher. And the OU also, as far as I'm aware, based on Rav Moshe, based on Rav Henkin, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, say that you can eat soft cheese without Jewish ownership supervision, but many hechsherim are machmir, and in Israel, obviously in Israel, it's less of an issue because Jews are involved in everything. I just put on the bottom there vegetarian cheese we talked about. A lot of vegetarians, by the way, are very shocked when they found out that their Parmesan cheese has got animal stomachs in it, and they're very upset about it. So we know about that. So if you know about that, you can tell vegetarians. And vegan cheese obviously is made with soy or whatever, and it's kosher. If it's kosher, it doesn't come under the gezeira of cheese. So hopefully we've brought clarity. If you're Italian, then ask your local Orthodox Italian posek. Okay? But if you're not Italian, then I think it's going to be cheese with a heksher for everybody. Next week, meat. Not just meat, but 21st century meat. We'll see if it's actually fleshy. Okay.